Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. With me this morning, as promised, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappe from the U of M. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Denny.
Good morning.
And John and Julie, listening to that forecast, and you and I were chatting, there's no mention of any precipitation. I don't want to, as they say, rain on people's parade, but it's going to be dry by the end of the week. And as Julie mentioned, we're going to have to be watering. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, we're going to be needing to water particularly trees and shrubs and perennials as they go into the fall weather. And we want them to go in hydrated into our winter as they move into dormancy.
Well, as Julie knows, John, we tout you as our turf guru, our turf expert here on CCO, and urging our listeners, if you have any kind of a lawn question, this is today. We promised you last week that Julie and John would be back. And indeed they are. So if you have any kind of a lawn question for John, by all means, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. John, outside of what Julie mentioned as far as watering, what is this unusually warm weather, does that change our tactic as far as keeping our lawns nice throughout the fall and winter?
Not quite that much. I mean, this is... seems to be turning into kind of a typical weather pattern for what we've seen for the last few years, dry falls.
Yeah.
But the one thing that it does do for our lawns is if we don't get into kind of a severe or exceptional drought, it really just kind of limits the types of management practices you can accomplish if you don't have an irrigation system or a way of, say, watering in fertilizer. So it's really just kind of something to keep an eye on. I wouldn't necessarily be all that worried about it right now, even with the extended forecast with no rain in sight. I would still just keep an eye on the lawn, try to reduce stress. You don't necessarily want to be fertilizing unless you can water in that fertilizer. And so without rainfall, that may just mean fertilizing a little bit later if we get some rain in early October. Otherwise, it may just mean waiting until the spring.
Okay, very good. Let's grab some text messages. Here's the first one. My apples on my apple tree contain so many bees. Mm-hmm. Is there a product I can use to attract them away from the apples without killing them?
Well, my first question would be, are you sure they're bees and not wasps? Because we have a lot of yellow jackets that are out right now, and they are out looking for sugary sweet food to help them get through the winter. So they're browsing on that. So that's the first question. I would be very careful either way, whether they're bees or wasps, because you just want to, you don't want to be stung by them. There's not really anything that you can, I suppose you could try using a wasp trap, but that will trap and kill whatever flies into it. It's just kind of the nature of having an apple tree. I would say put on some really sturdy gloves, maybe, try to pick up apples off the ground, so that they're not rotting. The bees are particularly, bees and wasps are attracted to that kind of fermenting, rotting sugar of the apples. And just be careful with that. You could use a rake and rake them up too. So, yeah, there's not really anything, though, that you can put out there that will attract them away from your apples. Your apples are much more attractive than probably any kind of pheromone or anything like that.
As John knows, and our listeners last week, Julie is getting close to retirement. Right? I mean, really close.
Yeah, woo-hoo. Next week. Yeah. <woo-hoo. laughs>
However, you're not leaving the show.
No. In fact, good. I think I'm on like twice in October. So I'm going to stick around as long as John and Laura will let me. And yeah, just help out when I can. So
excellent.
I'm not going anywhere in that respect at this point.
It's more, it's better described as us begging her to come on, I think.
No.
All right. I know
we're
the feeling.
Colleagues.
Yes. Well, congratulations, Julie, ahead of
thanks.
The game here.
Thank you.
Let's grab a phone call. Marlene's calling in from Woodbury, I do believe, this morning. Marlene, thank you. What is your question for Julie and John?
Okay. At our cabin last weekend, we found tons of mushrooms. I mean, it was just loaded. 4 bushel baskets or wheelbarrows that we carried across the road. How do we prevent mushrooms and what do we do? I know there's a little bit of shade. There's been too much moisture this year, but what can I do to control them? And then I have a question on shrub roses that were cut down by our HOA by mistake. I've been trying to get them to grow back this summer, so what can I do before fall?
Were the mushrooms in the lawn or were they elsewhere?
They were in the lawn. They were even in the rocks that were around the cabin.
Okay.
They were plentiful.
Yeah. So I'll take the mushrooms in the lawn question first. So realistically, there's no harm from mushrooms. I mean, they may be coming from an old tree branch or tree that had fallen in the soil, and you're just seeing that. There's some soil-borne fungi called fairy rings that are basidiomycetes that are really just harmless. You might notice a ring patch in the springtime, but otherwise there's nothing really to be worried about. There's certainly nothing to apply or to manage. It's really just maybe stepping them down like you'd done or raking them up. But otherwise, they're not causing any harm, and they're not really necessarily attracting any pests. It's really just more of an aesthetic problem.
As far as the shrub rose goes, what I would recommend is that you screen it with, say, hardware cloth, a big loop of hardware cloth for the winter, and stuff a bunch of leaves in there. And the reason for that, even though it's a hardy shrub rose or hardy shrub roses, this will allow you to start next spring with more living tissue. Sometimes we see dieback on shrub roses that forces us to cut back quite a bit into the plant, and we start with a smaller plant in the spring. So if you want to try doing that, that will also prevent animals from feeding on those roses, too, through the winter if you have them screened like that.
All right, very good. Let's take a break here. I want to invite our listeners to join in, too. 651-461-9226. You can phone in your question, or you can send a text. Either way, 651-461-9226. I'll come back in just a moment with more of our Smart Garden Show with Julie and John here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Good morning. Welcome back to our...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio?
Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Smart Garden Show this morning, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trampy from the U of M answering those questions. And today, as Julie knows, with John being on the show as well, if you have any lawn question, this is your day to ask John those specific questions. Again, 651-461-9226. We're going to go back to the phones in a moment. I want to grab a text before we get too far behind. Here's one. It says, my fellow gardeners report a lot of blight on vegetable plants this year, tomatoes, cucumbers, etc. One theory is that the smoke from Canada may have been a factor, either in spreading the blight or weakening the plants. Aside from that, Texter says, I grow tomatoes in very large grow pots. Do I have to replace all the soil next year if my plants had blight this year?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. So this year, the diseases have been bigger because think about the weather that we've had. We started with cool spring, lots of rain, and a lot of wind, too. And we had these kind of, I call it a roller coaster of weather this year, where we had a week of warm weather that was humid. Then we had a week of rainy weather that was cool, and, you know, so on and so forth. So it's made for a perfect environment for a lot of fungal leaf spot diseases, as well as some bacterial diseases as well, because both of those types of pathogens grow well, for the most part, in pretty damp, cool weather, and then the spores are blown around by all the wind that we have. So when you have plants that are susceptible to that, you're going to see results that are worse on a year like this year instead of a dry year that we've had, say, a couple years ago. So what I would recommend with the tomato grow bags is, yes, I'm sorry to say, if you're going to grow tomatoes in them again next year, then I would change out the soil. And I would probably wash the bags as well, because those spores can reside over the winter in that soil and also on any kind of materials or structures that you use with those plants. So you want to wash those bags, you want to change out the soil, and then you also want to wash any kinds of structures, so cages, posts, poles, whatever you've used to support that plant. The other option is to purchase some more new grow bags, or maybe use grow bags that you grew something else in that wasn't a nightshade, not a potato or pepper or tomato or eggplant or tomatillo, and grow your tomatoes in those. And then grow something that's unrelated in these bags, and you can reuse the soil then at that point. So you could grow flowers in there. You could grow something like a cucumber. You could grow something like a squash in there and grow it vertically. So those are some options, but yes, if you do have some kind of a blight, whether it be early blight, late blight, septoria leaf spot diseases on tomatoes, then you do want to go ahead and not plant tomatoes or any other nightshade in that soil this year or the coming year.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Mickey calling in from Minnetonka this morning. Mickey, thanks for waiting. What is your question?
Good morning. I was out at the Arboretum, and I see this gorgeous Japanese maple that's planted in a gigantic planter. It's next to the big building there. Mm-hmm. And my question is, how do they overwinter that? Does that stay in that gigantic planter, or do they have lovely buildings that they overwinter those in?
We have greenhouses out just off the service road that is on the 3-mile drive, and that's where the Japanese maple goes for the winter. So it's dug out of that container. That container is used again for, you know, holiday displays and whatnot. The container doesn't move, but the plant does. And if you're interested in plants like that have similar characteristics to a Japanese maple but are looking for something that you don't have to overwinter in a greenhouse or in a garage or something, you could look at Korean maples, and you can see examples of Korean maples just before, right next to the Bailey Shrub Walk on the 3 mile drive at the Arboretum. So it's across from the Sculpture Garden, and just before you get to the entrance to the Bailey Shrub Walk, you can see there are some small maples that look similar to Japanese maple. Their form is a little different. It's a little bushier, but they have been planted in the landscape now for a number of years and have survived. So that might be an option if you're looking for that type of a plant.
All right, very good. Thanks, Mickey. Let's grab another call. Bill, checking in from Waverly this morning, I believe. Hey, Bill, good morning. What is your question for Julie and John?
Good morning. I was just a friend of mine gave me some Jack and a Pope and clumps of seeds, and I was wondering what the best way to start them.
Those you want to put in the ground now, because I believe, being a native plant, that those need to go through a winter, a stratification or a vernalization. I can't remember the difference. John, you might help me with that. But that you want those seeds to go through winter, and that will help them to germinate in the spring.
Is there any risk with them going down now that they would germinate yet this fall, or maybe should this gentleman wait a little longer?
What would you recommend? You started an awful lot of seeds.
Yeah, I would actually consider. I would just say the risk that if they do germinate now, they may end up winter killing off. And so if you just wait a couple of weeks, I'm sure at some point the temperatures are going to start dropping, and then we'll all be complaining about it. But I would just wait until early November and then go out and seed them then. And then in which case they'll be just fine and get that cold stratification that Julie was talking
stratification.
About.
Stratification. I mix those two up a lot.
Well, here's a question, a text that John gets a lot and on the show for sure. What to do about moles tunneling the yard?
Yeah, moles are they're a mammal that's typically they're mostly feeding on earthworms. Some people believe that they're feeding on white grubs. They really feed on all kinds of soft-bodied insects, but mostly earthworms. So there's not really anything you can do from a discouraging standpoint from trying to keep them out of your lawn. It's really more of a factor. It's just kind of random. But there's a number of traps that you can use. There's also a number of baits. And the baits are typically resemble earthworms. You can drop them down in their tunnels. But my favorite or preferred method that I've seen that seems to work really well is just waiting them out. So stepping down the tunnels and then using a spade when they retrace their tunnels every couple of hours. So grab yourself, enjoy these nicer temps, grab yourself a lawn chair and some beverages and read a book.
Watch for the moles.
Watch for the moles.
Actually, I was thinking moles might help with jumping worms. I don't know that. That's just
I'm not
a thought.
Sure. Yeah, maybe someone's looking into that. That's a pretty good question.
Yeah.
All right. They can't. Seriously, they can do a lot of damage, though, can't they? A lot of damage. All right.
Absolutely.
At the beginning of the month, Texter says, we sodded part of our front yard. What's the best timing and process to cut that for best results?
Well, the sod should just be mowed as needed. So you can just try to go and pull up on it. If it was at the beginning of the month of September, that's 3 to 4 weeks of growth. It should be fully rooted at this point. So you can actually just go and kind of do a tug test and try to pull up on it, and you'll be able to see how well it's rooted. Now, if it hasn't rooted yet, I think that would be pretty concerning at this point. But you just basically keep watering it as needed. But at this point, 3 weeks later, it should be fully rooted, should be ready to be mowed. And I would just try to mow it at the tallest setting possible and just slowly lower that setting so that way it's at the same setting that you mow the rest of the lawn.
This next text is the battle of the arborists. I have three arborvitae trees that are too tall for their location. One arborist told me, go ahead, cut the tops off. Second arborist told me, I can't do that, and I just have to remove the trees. Would you have an opinion?
Well, let's see. Yes, arborvitae can get to be very large, and they're wonderful plants. They serve lots of good purposes in the landscape. The issue with cutting them off is that their form may not recover for quite a while. They may have this kind of flat top. But if that's your only alternative, that may be what, versus taking them out, that might be what you have to do. But as far as leaving them in their size, what I would also recommend then is that you be sure that you're doing a loose shear on those plants so that they are really being, you know, growing very lush and keeping their form and not getting too out of control. And what that is it's, you're really just kind of taking off the newest growth. And you can do that several times in a season, and that will prevent that kind of real tight, you know, kind of small growth. You'll get the bigger, lusher growth on those. But I guess my feeling is if the choice is take them out or cut them off, I would probably try the cutting off first. They might look so unsightly that you take them out anyway, but... Yeah. But really, it's choosing the right plant for that place and not choosing a plant that gets so tall.
Very good. It is time for a break. Have a look at that forecast. We'll do that and come back with more of our Smart Garden Show. We have a lawn and garden question for Julie and John. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show this Saturday morning. If you're just joining us, Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappe from the U of M are answering those questions. And as I said earlier, if you have specifically a lawn question, today's your day, because John is our turf expert this morning. Julie and John, as usual, we have tons of texts. But here's one I wanted to mention, too, that came in a bit ago. Good morning, Denny, Julie, and John. I attended John's field day a couple of weeks ago. It was great. Cool. One question I failed to ask is, what is the ideal depth of good quality soil before seeding a bare area of my yard?
Well, the depth of the soil, I'm assuming that they're referring to from the soil surface down to where, say, grass roots will grow. Grasses are perfectly capable of growing even on pure sand. So, when people think about topsoil or soil that, you know, can be amended. You know, if you, in a perfect world, you would want to have something that's 6 to 8 inches deep. But that's not to say that you can't grow a very healthy lawn on just an inch or two of topsoil. So I really am a big fan of trying to keep the soil as close to what it was. But, you know, many residential areas are already all naturally disturbed. So if you were going to be constructing one, somewhere between that 4 to 8 inches, I think, would be more than sufficient for most lawns and gardens.
Before we go to the phones, I want to ask another text that's related to lawns. Good morning. Can I still get grass seed to germinate and grow 2.5 to 3 inches before it gets too cold? Texter says, excuse me, I'm planning on cutting my existing lawn to 2.25 from 2.75, then dethatching, and then overseeding. By the way, in summer, I keep the grass at 3.25 inches. So the question is, can I get it to grow before the winter hits?
Very precise with lots of details. You gotta like
yes.
It. Okay. So I would actually not seed right now, especially with the upcoming forecast we have. Generally, by the end of September, you know, if you haven't seeded already, it's probably better just to wait for dormant seeding opportunities. So the big risk right now is, especially with certain species like tall fescue, is those seedlings are somewhat susceptible to winter kill in that first year. And they typically need 60 or more days of growth before the first hard frost or before they're, you know, can succumb to that those colder temperatures. So I would wait dormant seed and really just do the everything you've described. You don't really have to dethatch for dormant seeding. You get plenty of opportunities over winter for that seed to get down into the soil for that seed to soil contact. So I wouldn't necessarily worry about dethatching. And generally, you want to try to do that in the early fall as opposed to right now, because you don't want to injure the plants too far or, you know, before winter, because you want to have the plant's ability to respond, fill in any voids, and have a dense and healthy turf that's more resistant to things like crabgrass in the spring. Very so good. Dormant seeding would be the recommendation.
Excellent. I think I'll do a little of that again this year. All right, back to the phones we go. Catherine calling in from Blaine. Catherine, what is your question?
Hi, yes. I was wondering, I want to put a tree in my yard. And I was wondering, is a red maple a good choice? And does it have to be a certain circumference in order to make it? Or how does that work?
Oh, Catherine, I'm so glad you asked about selecting plants, because I am going to direct you to our Plant Elements of Design plant selection tool. There's a link to it right on our homepage on Yard and Garden at extension.umn.edu. And in that program, you can enter in the site conditions that you have in your location. So type of soil, how much light, what's the space that you have for a full-grown plant. And then click search, and you can look at any and all plants that come up from the criteria that you've entered. So it's a great place to start. You can also print a plant list. You can print out plant data sheets on each plant, and you can look at quite a few pictures of plants. We aren't 100% on pictures, but we have an awful lot of them, thanks to Lindsay Miller, who's on our horticulture team. And, so look at the Plant Elements of Design plant selection tool. This is still a good time to plant trees. You just want to be sure that you're going to be watering them all the way up until freeze. And I'm going to also direct you to our watering guidelines for newly planted trees and shrubs on our trees and shrubs section of our same webpage.
Excellent resource. extension.umn.edu.
Right.
Thank you, Catherine. Let's while we're on the phones here, let's grab a call from Mark, calling in from Ham Lake this morning. Mark, thank you. What is your question?
Good morning. Lawn question. Both an adjacent neighbor of mine and I have lush, thick lawns. We're proud of them. But what we also are finding is we're seeing an overabundance of earthworms, almost to the point where it's disrupting the root system of the lawn, the point where with some light raking, the grass plant easily pulls loose, which I haven't seen before. For instance, in a basketball-sized area, if we lightly rake, we'll see anywhere from 3 to 5 to 6 earthworms in there. And they're not the docile type of earthworms. They're very active, very wiry. I've just never seen anything like this before. The affected area is several hundred square feet on my neighbor's lawn, and it's starting to creep over into mine a little bit, too, as they move around. We do water a fair amount because of the lush, rich lawn, but I'm just wondering if this is a one-year seasonal thing we're seeing, or my inclination is, okay, let's winter the lawn, let's see what we have in the spring and go from there. But I just want your take on why we're seeing this overabundance of worms and any potential damage it may be doing to those grass plants.
What does that sound like, Julie?
That sounds like jumping worms.
Yep, that's just what I was thinking. So, and unfortunately, there's not any products, any insecticides, or any kind of chemicals that are labeled for earthworm control. It's unfortunately one of the realities with having these is, some earthworms are great for aerifying the soil naturally and breaking down organic matter, but. But as you mentioned, they can eventually get to be a detriment. The one thing that there's not really a whole lot that you can do other than potentially try to get them to dry out. And so that's one cultural practice that's used on golf courses and in putting greens, for example, is to try to allow your lawn to dry out a little bit more. And in some cases, what they do from a practice standpoint is to try to encourage them on the soil surface on days when they know it's going to be very sunny. But really, there's not a whole lot of research that says that that's a long-term viable solution. Julie, do you have any suggestions from a jumping worm perspective or really just earthworm management?
So one of the things with jumping worms is they're a type of composting worm. And so they feed on in the top duff layer of our soils. So they feed on the roots of plants, and primarily, it looks like they feed a lot on the finer roots and particularly herbaceous plants. We have a web page on jumping worms under our invasive species. This is a prohibited invasive species, And just for the record, all earthworms in Minnesota are introduced. None of them are native. We have no native worms in Minnesota. So they're all introduced, but these are particularly damaging because they are in the top few inches of the topsoil. You can, as you find the worms, take them out and dispose of them. But this is the time of year you're going to see the adults. So these are the bigger worms. And I would recommend taking a look at the webpage. This happens to be under our natural resources section, but you can just go to our extension page at extension.umn.edu and type jumping worms into the search box, and you'll come up with that page. That's the first thing that pops up. So you can learn more about what they are. And there's, as John said, there's really nothing to do except try to make the environment as unpleasant for them as possible, and that means less watering. And so you may really love your lush lawn, but you might want to just back off on the watering.
Very good. Before we take a quick break, you know what I wanted to mention or ask? What's going on at the Arboretum? I love the Arboretum.
Oh, today is Apple Fest.
Ooh.
It's a big event celebrating everything apples, and it is mostly being held out at the farm at the Arb, which is where John and I and Laura all office. And it is also, there's also the Apple House, too. But there's a lot going on. There's Apple Bingo. There's applesauce eating contests. There's apple-themed concessions from our rootstock, which is our culinary team. There's great presentations by people like Dave Bedford, who's one of the research scientists in apples. There's a scavenger hunt for kids. There's cider talks by Milk and Honey Ciders. There's even the Apple Quiz Bowl, so, and a kids' dance party and some live music. So all sorts of different things going on. So you can visit that at our extension page, at the Arboretum page, at arb.umn.edu. And then be sure to stop at the Apple House and get yourself some Minnesota apples. Right now, I think it looks like Honeycrisp and maybe Harrelson and some Sweet Tango are available for sale out there. There could be some other ones, too. But, so it's very exciting. It's a great time of the year for the Arboretum.
And great weather to enjoy.
Oh, yeah, fantastic weather.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
Very good, Julie. John, hang on. We'll take this quick break. Be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show on this Saturday morning. 651-461-9226. We'll pick up on more questions when we come back here on News Talk A3OWCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M, answering those questions today. We mentioned, Julie and John, that if you have a lawn question, and boy, do we. We have tons of them, and let's see how many folks we can help out here. Here's one. I'm renovating part of my lawn, seeded a couple of weeks ago. There are now about as many weeds as there's new grass. Is there something I can use to kill the weeds that won't hurt the baby grass, as they call it? I plan on dormant seeding some areas that came in a little thinly, so I don't want to wait and use a pre-emergent next spring.
Yeah, I the first step with any kind of, with managing any kind of weed is correctly identifying it. So, you know, there are certainly some products I could recommend for most quote unquote weeds in a lawn. Now, with that said, there's a number of phone apps out there that you can use. Even within most major smartphones now, you can just use the camera app. But I would just Google. We've got a couple of blog posts written on the university websites on how to use these apps to correctly identify the weeds. But the really quick answer is that if you do have seedlings, there are most selective broadleaf herbicides that will work on them and be safe on the seedlings. Generally, I would wait until later in the fall to manage them, just in case there are some annual grasses or anything else that are slowly dying off. Or summer annual weed species. So I would wait a couple of weeks, until about the early or middle of October, and then begin treating those just to allow the seedlings to mature a little bit more. As far as what those products are, we do have a webpage on managing weeds in lawns that goes through a number of the products. There's really any number of selective broadleaf herbicides. It would be a good starting point. But again, I would just make sure the weeds that you're going to manage, that you can identify them, learn a little bit more about them, so that way you can correctly manage them.
Very good. Question is, will hostas grow through thick moss next year, or should I try to remove it?
Hosta grow pretty well in lots of tough conditions. I would probably remove some of it from around it. If it's growing really densely around the base of your hosta, or if you're planning to plant hosta where that moss is, I would definitely replace it or remove it at that point.
Okay. When is a good time to trim my climbing rose bush, and how far can I cut it back?
Well, with the roses, you want to just wait till it's done. You can prune it back in the spring, actually. And you might want to protect part of it. I mentioned earlier about the shrub rose, to put a fencing around it to protect it from animal browsing. And then also, too, you could stuff leaves in it. And that just helps you start with a larger plant next spring. There's less dieback. But you're going to get dieback on a climbing rose anyway. So we want to avoid pruning woody plants right now, including roses, because we don't want to prompt those plants to put out any new growth at this point in the season. So just leave them and protect the base of the plant, as I mentioned, with the fencing. And then next spring you can go in and prune back any dieback.
Okay. A utility company, texture writes, has been working in our neighborhood with buried cables. To patch up our lawn, they fill up deep holes with sand and then add a few inches of soil on top and then grass seed. Question is, how much sand can grass handle below the soil?
I think the folks in the Central Sand Plains in Becker and Sherburne County would probably say a lot of sand they can handle. So I would not be too concerned about that. I think it's a lot of times they do that for ease of just in case they have to redig up the area. But for the most part, they're required by contract to return it to some kind of as before condition. So, but unfortunately, a lot of times they use just different grass seeds than what's already there. So I would just try to be patient, see what comes up, and maybe consider dormant seeding this fall if you're not all that happy with how it actually emerges. But I would be prepared just to add a little bit more seed anyways.
Another question we get, Julie and John, all the time this time of year is when to start mowing the grass shorter for winter.
You can. You don't have to do that. So that can be a slight advantage for being able to mulch and recycle those tree leaves as they're coming down this fall. It can also reduce snow mold if you have, a really lush, dense lawn. By lowering the height, you can actually reduce snow mold. But I wouldn't really start doing that until the middle of October and just gradually lower it by half inch or quarter inch at a time for each mowing event. But there's really just marginal benefit, and it's mostly just to as a defense measure more than a proactive one.
Okay. A couple of minutes ago on the show, a texter says, I had to cut a damaged limb from a maple tree. Is it best to cover the cutoff with a sealant or just let it be?
Just let it be, and it will start to heal itself over and take care of itself. So, yeah, no need to paint it.
And here's another one for John. Do you believe in winterizer fertilizer? If so, when should it be used?
Winterizer fertilizer generally just has a little bit more potassium in it than a standard maintenance fertilizer. But for the most part, it's really just marketing. People are thinking about that. It's, thinking about preparing the lawn for winter. They honestly can be used any time of the year. It's really just marketing. So really any time that you can actually water it in would be good. I would not fertilize after about the middle of October, just because you don't want to encourage the plants to be growing a bunch more without really knowing if we're going to be getting, 6 inches of snow on over Halloween type of deal. So any time is great.
All right. And I like the way you pronounce Halloween. A lot of people say Halloween. I say, no, chocolate bunnies are hollow. It's Halloween. I know we have to run here, but Julie and John, thanks so much. And let's tell the folks, Julie, the Extension website and to get to the Arboretum.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. And visit the Arboretum. Today is Apple Fest. I believe it goes 10 to 2 or 10 to 3. And you can find that information at arb.umn.edu.
Excellent. Julie and John, I know we'll see you here in the next few days. And thanks so much. And I know we'll be hearing from you, Julie, soon again. And hopefully,
oh,
John.
Absolutely. You bet.
All right.
Looking
Thank
forward
you both.
To it.
Very
All
good.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Julie Weisenhorn, John Trappe from the University of Minnesota helping us out today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.